It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Knox will pick him up. Williams corkscrews up, off, and down! It's a two-point lead. Final seconds. Wagner with it. Driving on Hawkins. Firing off. Texas Tech has won.
Kevin Harlan, man.
Oh, yeah.
There's no other voice. If you wanted someone to give play-by-play of, like, the biggest moment of your life, it's Kevin Harlan.
Yeah. I
it's
love
like
it.
Your what? Your wedding day. She's got the dress. Yeah. She's up the aisle.
Right.
He's got the ring.
Well, what's crazy is, so like, say...
I would want Kevin Harlan to call the biggest highlights of my life.
Yeah. No, me too. But like, I listened to Kevin Harlan actually, you know, not this past season, but seasons past when I... So the antenna broke off my old car, my old Jeep, right? And I couldn't get AM or FM radio. So, unfortunately, there's an issue with the app, right? So you can't hear the actual game. You can hear the coverage around the game, but not the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go to westwood1.com and you could just pick up the signal and play it through Bluetooth. So I listened to a lot of Kevin Harlan before I worked here, per se.
Right.
So, yeah, his voice is definitely my favorite to listen to play-by-play wise.
Yeah, like I get that. Like,
doesn't he get the barn burner games on TV too? Like, they're not the best.
Well, he gets good matchups. He doesn't get the best ones.
Right, Nance and Romo get the
Nance
best.
Nance and Romo are the one team for CBS, but Harlan's the two. So they don't give him the garbage. Actually, it might be Ian Eagle now that I think about it, though. So Harlan doesn't always get the best matchups. But he's always the best sounding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Harlan's either their second or their third team guy for CBS. Because Ian Eagle's also there.
Yes.
And Ian Eagle's also very good.
They're all good. CBS has a good commentary team.
Yes.
Tony Romo sometimes. He gets a little insufferable. But better than Chris Collinsworth all the way on the other network.
So we come back, though, and we have a job to do. We have to educate the people on players that are going to be available, players that we would like to see, and how do we do that? Gotta get that music. Mock Draft Simulator. Let's get a mock draft going here. We'll do another two rounds here because, again, the Bills having those 2 second round picks is very important with how things are going to go.
Yes.
I'm a cheap boy. I'm not paying for a month of PFF for 3 days.
No, there's no need to.
So I'll wait until, you know, Monday. So, Tuesday. I'll wait till Tuesday.
What's Tuesday?
April.
Oh. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I am starting to notice something, though. A lot of big boards are putting Missouri wide receiver Luther Burden down their big boards now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting kind of curious about that.
Is he just not interviewing well? Or?
Last week, I called into question why the simulator was doing that.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm seeing it on other big boards. And it's a little confusing to me. Why am I bringing this up? Because he's here again available for the Bills at 30. Malachi Starks goes, by the way, the pick before to Washington. And I'm thinking at that point, the Bills are probably going hell or high water. No, we got to trade up and get a player like that. Mostly because Kenneth Grant's gone. And he's gone early in this one.
Okay.
17.
Yikes. That's my pick at 30, by the way, if he's there. No question.
Yeah. But also,
oh boy. What happened?
You make one bad click, you got to reset everything.
Oh no.
The Steelers taking Shedeur Sanders at 21 would be fascinating to me because that's also saying Aaron Rodgers, kick rocks.
Yeah.
You want to take your time? Fine. Be my guest.
He's going to sit in a cave for a little bit. You got to remember that.
So, Malachi Starks, by the way, falling into anything in the mid-20s, the Bills got to go and get a player like that. Like, he is someone that should not fall that far. He shouldn't. And yeah, I know, safety is not typically a high-value position to go trade up for. But I'm still going to tell you, he's that good. Speaking of safeties, Nick Amonwori, a peak my guy. Trademark.
Mm-hmm.
Other players available, though, would be someone like Derek Hartman on the defensive interior at D-tackle from Oregon. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher from Tennessee. Nick Scowerton from Texas A&M on the edge. There's some options. There are options here. A lot of guys that they could comfortably trade back as well and get themselves like a third-round pick again. I would hate all of that because I would have been sitting here until like 12:30 on draft night with Nate and Zach and being like, oh, they're trading out again.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Not great.
My life is hell. But if it happens, it happens. So what am I going to do? I'm going to stick to my principles here. Even though Luther Burden's available, I'm going to take Derek Hartman here out of Oregon.
Okay.
Hartman is... very good player. Emmanuel goes to the Chiefs, by the way, immediately after.
So. That would incite a, you know.
Not really.
No? Like, you don't think so again?
I think.
Say, like, going into the draft, we're really pushing Emmanuel. Everybody on the station is.
The thing is that people should have their own opinions. And if I'm pushing for Nick Emmanuel, I don't need everyone to follow me. I'm not the expert here. I'm not. I'm just going with players that I like. And personally, I'd like Nick Emmanuel. I think that he is a good player, and I think that is someone that the Bills should be looking at in the 30 range because that is something that they could value.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, I don't know if there's anything about this that I would hate here about Derek Hartman, 6'5", 310 pounds. Man's a big boy. He is seen as most effectively a three technique, though. So it might be a luxury good of sorts because you have Ed Oliver as well.
Right.
But Hartman does have the football IQ. He does have the quickness off the snap as well. So I would say if they end up with someone like Hartman, I'm okay with it, though. Mostly because you need more on your defensive line anyway. And then when we get to pick number 30 of round number two, pick 56 of round two, I'm going to go ahead and just see, hey, I got a huge hole at cornerback, right? I think that someone from Notre Dame like Benjamin Morrison is a great idea here. Darian Porter out of Iowa State. Paul would be really happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
there are a couple of corners that you'd be able to take here, and you have options. But also, this is the last, those two are the last bit of that second tier of corners that would be available for you. Would be players like Porter or Benjamin Morrison. I'm going with Morrison. I think that he's a very good player from an elite Notre Dame defense. And there could be questions about, like, hey, is he the sum of the parts because of just how good that defense was? Or is it because of players like Morrison that are blue chip players that he'll be able to stand out on his own? Morrison's a good player, though.
Yeah.
And I'm putting away Nate's Notre Dame bias here just so that that can happen here.
Right.
But he's capable of, based on scouting reports, he's capable of fitting any system. He can play a lot of man coverage. You know what the Bills played a little bit more of?
Man, under Mr. Babich.
Yes, Bobby Babich called a lot more man coverage. I think that this would be a great fit for them to have someone like Benjamin Morrison there. He did miss the, he did miss a good part of the championship run. He had a hip injury, but it does not look like it's something that's going to be long term. 6'1", 190
Right, considering their man coverage guy was is no longer on the team, and he was hot and cold because he was never warmed up really this past season. You kind of need a guy who can step in and do that. So I'm all in on a man coverage guy.
Some of the weaknesses in Morrison's game, for example, though, being he's not the quickest of getting off of blocks, but he is a willing run defender.
Right.
So good with the bad on that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you could probably coach the getting off of blocks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you could fine tune that where you want a good run defender, because that's what the Bills, I think, explosive runs were a weakness for them last year. I mean, look at the Derrick Henry thing. Like, you could just go back to that play and be like, yeah, that would be nice, you know, to have an extra guy who can stop a run.
Last one I'm going to do here with the other pick of round two. We're going to go with edge rusher Jack Sawyer. Put the highlight on Ohio State's pass rusher Jack Sawyer here. 6'5", 265. He does get pretty good with quickness off the ball. He is able to use pass rush success with bull rushes as well. Hey, the Bills just got an Ohio State pass rusher. Why not go ahead with another? You just signed one. Draft one.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
But yeah, I think Jack Sawyer would be a good pick here for them. 6'5", 260 pounds. He's seen as typically looking like a day two prospect. They're also thinking probably more of a early day two prospect.
Right.
But take what you will as the board falls for you there.
Position by position, what did you just take? Defense, right?
Defensive tackle, corner, defensive end.
All D.
So, yeah, I'm not expecting to really be worried if there's no offense in my first 2 days of draft.
No, I'm not either. I know some. I've seen this floating around. I don't know if you have. Some people want a receiver in the first round and then to move on to defense from there. And I understand.
That is their right.
I understand. And believe me, you're free to have your own opinion. But I think the bigger need currently, because we can go back to all these years where they've dropped, and yes, Josh Allen had the football last season to end it, right? But defense has been a big point of emphasis in those games. 13 seconds, right? They couldn't. Neither defense was stopping anybody. They were gassed. You need to get deeper on defense. All last season, during the season, was those games we lost. Oh, that wasn't on Josh Allen, right? That was on the defense or whatever, right? Like, yeah, in the offense. So I think defense being the point of emphasis whenever a loss comes along is telling of what should happen. That's kind of where I'm at, you know?
Yeah, I think that is absolutely something that we need to look at.
You don't want to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. You know what I'm saying?
The emphasis?
Yeah, emphasis on the wrong syllable, but I emphasize the wrong syllable.
I hate
emphasis
so much
on the wrong syllable.
I hate everything that you just said. Yeah. For me, I'm also looking at players in the first round, trade targets to go up for Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, 6'6", 290. He does have himself a lot of athletic ability. He does still need to work a little bit on technique, but that can be coached.
Yeah.
Technique is always something that you can coach. If there's something technically that you need to help shape with a player, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Can't coach talent.
Trading down, by the way, to get a third-round pick or something like that also seems like a really good idea, because the cornerback class does, again, like I say, drop off considerably after, like, the first couple of players.
Yeah.
Nate is in on a player like Siobhan Revelle. Revelle is a player that is in that second tier.
Okay.
So is a player like I had mentioned with Morrison. Darian Porter from Iowa State. He's got length. Man, 6'4". So you got a tall corner there. Revelle, 6'3", 193, by the way, out of East Carolina. So these are names to start familiarizing yourself with, because there's a couple of players that should go early. Hunter, Jadae Barron from Texas, Will Johnson from Michigan. But then after that, that's the second tier. Got Trey Amos from Ole Miss, Hairston from Kentucky, Morrison from Notre Dame, Revelle from East Carolina, Darian Porter from Iowa State. Those are the guys in that second tier of corner,
yep,
that you could absolutely have within the second round. So it's tough to get a corner in the first round based on positional value and where it's going. But if you trade down into the second round, again, you have 3 second-round picks. First of all, holy nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a third then. You're probably looking at maximizing your capabilities at that point.
Yeah. And where do you stand?
Considering where they're picking, if you're not trading up, I would love to trade down.
Yeah.
If you're not going to get a player like a Shamar Stewart or a Kenneth Grant.
Right. You're not going to make the jump for the guy.
Or Malachi Starks, down, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Even trying to get Will Johnson if he's in range. If you don't get aggressive to move up into the high 20s, probably, for a player, my guess is they're going to trade down, because then you can actually maximize your value of what you can get. Because if you trade down out of the first round, you're probably going to get a third round pick in return. And if you're able to do that, that gives you 4 picks in the first 3 rounds instead of the 3 that you had. Because you move down your early second round, you have the other 2 second rounders, and then you have a third rounder again, which they love having a third rounder.
They do.
They also do a typically good job within the third round. It's one of their better rounds. If you look at Brandon Bean's draft history, the one that is more flawless in terms of getting pure production out of players is their fourth round. But they don't pick many times in there. It's kind of funny. Ray Davis is their low point, and that's only because he played 1 year.
Exactly.
Like, Gabe Davis didn't get a second contract, but he did give you production for a couple of years as a solid complementary wide receiver to your core as a wide receiver 3.
Exactly.
And Taron Johnson has been on this team since the moment he's been drafted and still here. That's it. That's the list of fourth round picks they've had.
Not many.
Incredible hit rate. Do it more.
Yeah. If you're successful there, let's uptick the amount.
But typically, if you're moving and shaking around the board, the fourth round pick is one of the picks that has to go.
Yeah. Here's my question to you. With the current, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, but with the James Cook stuff going on the way,
yes,
it is, do they nab a running back here at all?
I would say it's a good idea. The question's when.
That's my question. Like, when would you foresee them possibly doing that?
I'm thinking round three is probably where you should do it.
Because honestly, the running back class this season, this draft year, sorry, very deep.
It does seem like it's a very good draft class. If I'm looking at someone, I'll tell you right now, probably a good player with both speed and size.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Giddens out of Kansas State.
Okay.
6'1", 212. He's got a good one-cut style, which works very well in the Bills system. Because zone defense, you want that one-cut, you go.
Exactly.
You want a guy who's able to see the hole, hit the hole. And attack that way. Very aggressively.
Mm-hmm. Because I think we're going to get to the point where the, you know, the $15 million is just too rich that James Cook
The one
wants.
Thing that he's not a very physical runner for his size. He's 6'1", 212. But he doesn't have that, like, physicality
to him. He's
not
going to bulldoze through people.
He doesn't seem to bulldoze through people as well as he should based on his size.
Okay.
But that said, ready? I'm okay with that right now as a rotational player.
Yeah. You have Sweet Baby Ray who can do that and Ty Johnson.
Yeah.
So... the way they
Johnson's
also
more of a smaller guy, but if you're drafting a running back, by the way, someone's leaving the team.
Right.
So unless you're getting clear communication that James Cook is not going to play or he's
going
to hold out.
That's why I asked the question.
You need clear communication about that. And if they do it, that is more of an indicator.
Yes.
I don't expect it to happen. Mm-hmm. I expect Cook to play out his contract.
Oh, he'll finish the contract. I think they draft running back next season.
Yes.
I think that's what happens.
And again, if there is a running back taken this year,
it's pretty telling.
A clear telling sign about something going on.
Yeah. The writing's on the wall at that point if they're drafting a running back.
Exactly.
But I think they take it next year.
Or they're also willing to lose a guy like a Ty Johnson, for example. They'd be willing to part with that and then like replenish through free agency again.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Leonard Fournette's looking to make an NFL return. So,
why?
Do you see that?
Why?
I don't know. All right, after sitting last season out, he's ready to come back. I don't know how that's going to go, but good luck, Leonard.
Yeah.
He was a Buffalo Bill for a short stint.
But
maybe he will be again.
I'm going to tell you, there's a couple of those my guys, Shamar Stewart, Kenneth Grant, seems to be like everybody's guy at this point for the Bills.
I think that name has become universal
he's probably
in a lot of ways.
That.
Yeah,
Malachi Starks is probably unrealistic at this point, but Nick Emmanuel sure as hell is for me. And
Evan Worry, I would love. That would be a phenomenal pick if they did that. It's all about how the board falls. I mean, we could sit here and do as many mock drafts as we want.
Yeah,
we won't know what's going to happen until that night.
It's more about trying to get name familiarity out for people at this point.
Yes.
And looking at it that way. But I think Shamar Stewart would be great for this team. I also think Mykel Williams out of Georgia is another one of those pass rusher types that he'd be able to set the edge for you. Yeah, you got Joey Bosa. That's a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
Draft a guy anyway. Draft a good player.
Draft somebody so you don't have to re-sign a bigger name so that you can develop him and keep him on that rookie deal. Like, that's what you really want.
Or have to keep going over and over again to the one-year well or a two-year well.
Right.
Darius Alexander, by the way, he's another guy that, you know, he's got some size to him. Harmon does have size to him as well. Grant is on another level of just how big that man is, 6'3", 339. But there are some, there's a lot of good players here this year. Day two, players like Alfred Collins out of Texas. And if I need to say it in front of Zach, hey, man, he'll probably look at me and go, no, that's a good player to have with the size that he does, 6'5", 320, for example.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say?
That's a day two pick right there.
Yeah.
So come back. You know what we got to do.
Yep. It's that time.
Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.